Good morning and welcome to our service. Today is the last of the five services led for us by the Reverend Ian Murray. On behalf of all of us in the congregation, I'd like to take this opportunity of thanking Ian for supporting us in this way over these past weeks. We appreciate the work and the time in preparing the services for us, and we've also enjoyed and appreciated his thought-provoking reflections. We wish Ian well in his ongoing work in Aberdeen and elsewhere. Next week's service is being led by our own Grant Cumming, and in the course of it, we'll also be hearing from two of our young people, Caelan Barnes and Kirsty Cumming, about the different types of Christian work they are each involved in. Looking further ahead, in 2 weeks' time, our service will be led by David Sim, and the remaining services in September will be led by Stuart Finlayson. David and Stuart live in Murray and are both in training to become Church of Scotland ministers. Do join us if you're able to for our Zoom lockdown chat after the service at 11:45. The access details will be on screen at the end of the service. There's another chance to chat on Wednesday evening. The details for that and next Sunday's chat will be emailed to members. And whether or not you're able to join us for our chat sessions, please remember to take a moment or two at 1 o'clock on Wednesday to pray for our church, particularly remembering our Kirk Session and Nominating Committee in the decisions they each have to make about our future. Good morning and a very warm welcome to our worship to everyone at St Andrew's Lumbride and Urquhart Church of Scotland congregations. I'm Ian Murray with you throughout the month of August and recording my worship here at my home in Elgin. So it's very good to be with you, and it's great that you're able to join us this morning. And this morning we're thinking about quite a challenging passage from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. So let us begin our worship. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And our first hymn this morning is the hymn, Today I Awake. It's number 211 in the hymn book. Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, you have created all things good. Nothing is beyond your reach or your redemption. You are the God of the whole universe, of all creation, and yet you are mindful of us. You call on us to reveal your presence and to speak of your faithfulness from generation to generation.
wherever and whenever we gather, whether together or virtually as we are at present, you are there in our midst. You were there before we arrived, and you will be there when we leave. Your presence makes every space a sacred space. You delight in our praise and rejoice in all your people who find a way to acknowledge your presence in our world and in our lives. So may our worship bring us back to you and increase our awareness of your presence in our lives, calming our fears and restoring our souls, knowing ourselves beloved by you, united with all your creatures in heaven and on earth. But as we come in prayer, we come also confessing that there are times when we have wandered from your presence, times when we have failed to discern your presence around us. And so we confess, God, that even when your presence is startling, we can be so wrapped up in ourselves that we fail to notice. We confess that we may have missed opportunities to witness to your presence at work in our lives and in the lives of others. And we confess that we rarely live up to the marks of being Christian by grasping too tightly all that we have and by excluding others from our tightly drawn circle. So forgive us, God. Lift up our eyes to see you everywhere. Draw us out of ourselves to discern your presence all around. And as we know ourselves to be forgiven, let us reflect that same spirit of forgiveness in and through all that we do, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. And our reader is Willie Jack.
The reading is taken from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 28. This reading is taken from the Message and is entitled, You Are Not in the Driver's Seat. Then Jesus made it clear to his disciples that it is necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, submit to the ordeal of his suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, and then on the third day be raised alive. Peter took him in hand, protesting, Impossible, Master, that can never be. But Jesus didn't swerve. Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works. Then Jesus went to work and his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driving seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself. Your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? Don't be in such a hurry to go into business for yourself. Before you know it, the Son of Man will arrive with all the splendor of his Father, accompanied by an army of angels. You'll get everything you have coming for you, a personal gift. This isn't pie in the sky by and by. Some of you standing here are going to see this take place, see the Son of Man in kingdom glory. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I met a couple of friends this week whom I hadn't seen for several months, hadn't seen them in a long time. And they explained to me that they have had a really hard year. Their plans to go on holiday to Florida back in May had been cancelled. Their golf course has been closed for several months, only just reopened, as had their favourite restaurant. And they could only see their kids and their wider family via Zoom. I think it's the worst year of our lives, they said. Well, I guess everything is relative, but I did feel like saying, for goodness sake, get a grip. You've got your health, you've got your family, you're living comfortably off with a lovely house, living in peace and safety in this part of the world. Just look at those desperate folk, refugees and asylum seekers, crossing the English Channel in small boats, risking life and limb, fleeing war and oppression in the hope of finding a new life. Or anyone else who's going through real hardships in life. Everything is relative, I guess, so I said nothing. But speaking with them, spending the afternoon with them, got me thinking about their plans which had been upset. It also reminded me that sometimes we think that we are in control, when of course we're not in control. Life unfolds and none of us really knows what lies around the corner. And maybe that alone should cause us to be grateful for what we have and for what we sometimes take for granted. When I was in my early 20s, growing up in Dufftown and exploring some sense of calling to the ministry, I spent quite a lot of time at the Benedictine Order up at Pluscarden Abbey, just outside Elgin here. Sitting one afternoon chatting with the guest master, Brother Finbar, I remember him explaining to me that almost everything that he had learned about his life, he had learned through the experience of suffering. And it wasn't what I wanted to hear at the age of 20. But over the years, I've learned that he was right. And it's the same truth that Jesus speaks of in today's gospel. And neither are talking about suffering for the sake of suffering. They're speaking about a different kind of suffering. It's the kind of suffering that happens when our homemade, self-created plans are turned upside down. When something interrupts and disrupts our lives, sometimes unexpectedly, always a reminder that we are not in control. There's lots of examples in Jesus' teaching reminding us that we're not in control. It's evident in the way that he lived his life and the number of times his teachings appear countercultural, turning things on their head. In today's reading, Jesus says that we must take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him. It's a challenge that runs throughout the Gospels, a challenge of the Christian way of life. I often return to William Barclay to see what he says on the subject, and he explains that there are three parts to this challenge. Firstly, there is self-denial, and we so often think of self-denial as doing without something or giving up something. But that's only a very small part of what Jesus meant by self-denial. To deny ourselves means in every moment of life to say no to self and say yes to God. To deny oneself means to put God rather than self at the centre. And I don't think that any of us can pretend that that is an easy thing to do. Secondly, Jesus said we must take up our cross. It's about living a sacrificial life, following on from self-denial. It's about abandoning personal ambition to serve Christ. And rather than following the expectations and social norms of society, follow the examples of Christ, even when they appear counterintuitive, countercultural, maybe even foolish in the eyes of the world. And finally, from Willie Barclay, it's about following Jesus, trying our best to reflect his teachings and examples in and through our daily lives, in thought, in word, and in action. And again, let's not fool ourselves. That's something that's easier said than done. I can only speak personally, but when I forget that I'm not in control and that life is going to plan, my focus is very often on happiness and security. Maybe something to boost my self-esteem. My focus is on affection. It's always reassuring when you find affection. And it feels good to have a wee bit of power and control within our hands. And that works well until it doesn't work. And all it takes is something to interrupt or disturb or maybe turn my life inside out and upside down. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that experience. Sometimes it's something which causes fear, the sort of fear that you feel in the pit of your stomach, a kind of fear that keeps you awake at night and is with you throughout the daytime. Our focus on happiness and security is being threatened. Maybe it's something which causes anger. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times when it's good and it's right to be angry about some things. But when we are constantly angry, or have the same arguments and conflicts with the same folk who push our buttons, then our focus on happiness and security is being challenged and is at risk. Or think about the times when you feel all out of sorts, all wound up, and just not yourself. Our focus on happiness and security, quite simply, just isn't working. In these examples, something or someone is upsetting the equilibrium. It's what Jesus did in today's gospel with Peter. He is upsetting Peter's sense of security and well-being, and he does it with all of us. He tells us the cross is the way to life, and it makes no sense to most of us. It doesn't fit with our secure, familiar, and comfortable lives. God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you, Peter says, or to me for that matter. In other words, Peter is trying to protect himself. He has his mind set not on divine things, but on human things. Peter wants Jesus to be part of his secure, familiar, and comfortable life. Matthew 16 is one of those really challenging gospel passages. It's one I've always struggled with because it is a real personal challenge. It's counterintuitive, countercultural, and it threatens to upset the peace and the security and the comfort of my life. But the reality is, we can never really understand what it means to believe in, to confess and follow Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, until we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. But I think the important thing to remember in all of this is that God does not give us crosses to bear. The burdens, the difficulties, the losses, the frustrations that we encounter every day are not our crosses. They are just the circumstances of human life. Taking up our cross is not the means by which we are made good. It's not the means by which we are made acceptable or lovable in God's eyes. They are not God's punishment for our sins, and they're not even there to test our faithfulness. The cross does not justify our sufferings in this world. The cross transforms our sufferings, our challenges, our difficulties in this world. To deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Christ means that we are willing to let go of our self-created plans for the future, our secure, familiar and comfortable lives. There comes a day when we all stand face to face with our own powerlessness. We recognise that we are not, and we never were, in control. Sometimes it causes us to open our eyes, our hearts and our minds to another way, a new way, a different way. And maybe that's where we are in the midst of this COVID pandemic. We speak about the new normal and how the world has forever changed as a result of COVID-19. How do those demands Jesus make sound in a world where we are being forced to reevaluate everything that we thought important, everything that gave us comfort and security? How do we reevaluate these things in the light of a pandemic? I'm going to leave you with that question. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our prayers of intercession this week are led by Andrew Savory.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in our prayers for others today, we think particularly of those people in the world who are struggling physically, mentally, and spiritually. In a moment of silence, we now offer our personal prayers for those who have suffered and continue to suffer because of the present pandemic, and also for those individuals and groups who are trying to help them. Bring strength and resources to those who are attempting to bring health, comfort and aid to those who need it most. In particular, Lord, guide those who are searching for vaccines that will help to reduce the effects of the diseases that are attacking the world and help them share medical solutions and expertise so that all may benefit and not just those who can afford it. We pray for countries who are in a critical condition because they continue to be badly affected by war, political unrest, famine, unemployment, natural disasters, and poverty. Let those who are in a position to help in any way be inspired to provide assistance physically, mentally, and spiritually to those who desperately need it. And may your Holy Spirit guide us to play our part. We pray that political leaders in all levels of government across the world will be given wisdom to use their power and resources wisely for the benefit of those in most need, rather than for those who plainly aren't. And we pray for the children across the world and all those who are enabling them to get back to school safely to continue their education. We pray for the safety of all pupils, parents and staff, both teaching and non-teaching, and ask for wisdom that right decisions will be made at the right times. Help all of us, Lord, be part of a strong foundation that will make the earth become a better place in line with your vision, rather than us becoming stumbling blocks to your will for the world. And lastly, we pray for our own church, that we will all try to know God more fully, love him more intimately, and to serve him more faithfully amongst our neighbours. Help us discover new ways of doing this during these strange times, and guide church members and church elders as we seek to find ways of safely opening up our sanctuary for worship again. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 172 in the hymn book, Sing for God's Glory.
Sing for God's glory that colors the dawn of creation, racing across the sky, trailing bright clouds of elation. Sun of delight succeeds the velvet of night, warming the earth's exaltation. Sing for God's power that shatters the chains that would bind us, searing the darkness of fear and despair that could blind us, touching our shame with love that will not lay blame, reaching out gently to find us. Sing for God's justice, disturbing each easy illusion, tearing down tyrants and putting upright to confusion. Lifeblood of right, resisting evil and slight, offering freedom's transfusion. Sing for God's saints who have traveled faith's journey before us, who in our weariness gives us their hope to restore us. In them we see what new creation to be, Spirit of love made flesh for us.
And the benediction. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you remember this day and always. Amen.